All right, here we are, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me switch over here to the chat where I can see everybody. Here we are. Let me say hey to everybody. Orin the Court is on. Shayline 04 is on. Why not? Mia is on. Axel 1978 is on. Kep Guy 1 is on. Bud Dave is on. Nick GLYH is on. Sheila K is on. Dave Souders is on. JBC 2020 is on. Nitsua 99 already in the Rumble Rant is on. D9597 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Mike Griffith is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Ukrainian Dave is on. Jack and Daisy are on. Aaron Yeager is on. Aphrodites is on. Mike McGoyne is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Spoken 007 is on. Uncle Wally is on. Lou Ann 5 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Lisa Kinzer 11960 is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Day Now 59 is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Gen 11 Live Free is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Q the Band is on. Patriot Wolverine is on. Cool name. Let's see here. Anybody I miss? Skeeter Davis is on. Let me see. Am I missing anybody here? Hassle Free TV is on. John Phillips is on. Those Jesus people is on. King Slutsy McGroin, McGroin Nation is on. Ambully is on. Drummond for Jesus is on. Melissa Pickerel is on. Swethy is on. Liz859 is on. R Major 79 is on. Kev FM1 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. We'll start off with the silly tonight. We're going to start off with McDonald's. Just one thing real quick off of the pregame. These videos, and really they're one right after another, and they're not coming from conservative media sources. They're not coming from conservative punditry. They're coming really mainly, I think, from CNN. And if you noticed in the pregame where they had, this, of course, the recent video, where the CNN reporter is advising the CNN anchor, I can't find any Arab people voting for Kamala. Now, of course, if you go down to, you know, NYC and park your car in downtown Manhattan, you'll find occasional person that's voting for Kamala. But they, a lot of times they're sending people on the street. The same thing happened with Don Lemon. He went out and he tried, and you could tell he was really trying hard. He's walking all over the place, and he was walking in liberal areas trying to find people who were voting for Joe Biden. And now Kamala Harris. But I mean, well, it was at that point. I think I can't remember whether it was Joe Biden or Kamala Harris at that point. But anyway, he couldn't find anybody to vote for either one. But so what my point in all this is, if somehow Kamala wins this race, it's fraud. It's absolutely, I mean, because, and you're like, that's not scientific. It's not scientific, but for all intents and purposes, it is, because that in and of itself is pure polling. You're walking down the street and picking a random sample. And this keeps happening over and over again. They had a CNN reporter out, CNN, MSNBC. I get them all confused, which one is one of the cable left-tard outlets. But anyway, they're in Arizona County, and they're outside of the polling place because they're early voting in Arizona. Early voting just opened in Florida. I'll be voting this week in Florida. But they couldn't find one person in this Arizona county that was voting for Biden. I mean voting for Harris. So if somehow she wins this election, it's just basically, it has to be mass voter fraud. It has to be mass election fraud. It has to be, because, I mean, this keeps happening. If you follow these things like I do, this keeps happening over and over again. If they had the videos, they put them up. And we've shown numerous videos of the random guy walking around Home Depot asking every person he walks up to, who are you voting for? And literally it's 9 out of 10 voting for Trump. And again, if they had the videos that showed the opposite, they would be posting them nonstop. And believe me, I'm checking. There isn't any. There are no, it's just like there's no videos of a great FEMA response in Appalachia. There's no videos of FEMA rescuing anybody, providing anybody with any resources, being there for anybody, saving anybody's life, helicopters, water trucks, food trucks, nothing. There aren't any. If there were, they would be posted. There are none. And there are no videos of people going up and doing basically random street polls and finding people that are voting in any way, shape, or form in the majority for Kamala Harris. So let's go to the McDonald's thing. So break 9/11 video. Trump, you know, everybody, it's just some real funny reporting because Trump went and worked at McDonald's for a couple hours. Breaking 9/11 video. Trump, I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala at McDonald's. Play for me, Nez.
Tell you what, it's a great franchise. It's a great company. And they've been very, very nice. And come on, you know, if you look at really what's happening, look at the crowd over there. Look how happy everybody is. They're happy because they want hope. They need hope. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're going to give much more than hope.
What does working the fryer tell you about the people of Pennsylvania?
Make it fact.
Mr. President, you actually have worked at McDonald's now versus...
Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Are you going to put this on your resume?
She never worked here.
Why would she lie about something like that? Kamala. Will it be put on your resume?
I worked at McDonald's.
Why would she lie about that?
Why? Because she's lying.
Well, and there is no proof of it. So here's a Charlie Kirk video. You can go right to the next one, Ness. Here's Kamala. I love the way Trump, let me just adopt it. Kamala.
Kamala.
Kamala. Aaron does better Trump than I do. But anyway, so here's Charlie Kirk video. Kamala, reporter asked her, did you work at McDonald's? Kamala says, I did. Play for me.
That is my question. Did you work at a McDonald's?
Did I? Now just roll that video back. Just let it play, guys. I mean, just look at, you have to always look at people's body language. If you've ever been like a law enforcement 25 years, you can tell when people are lying. The way that she answers, that's a lie. The way that she answered that question is a lie. Watch, just watch her body language. Kamala, did you ever work at McDonald's? Watch. No, that's not how, when you are answering in the affirmative, you answer way different than that. She's basically withdrawing. She's trying to get away from you. She's not answering in the affirmative. I mean, she's answering in the affirmative, but it's a lie. In other words, she doesn't believe the affirmation. She doesn't believe it herself. And here's the problem with it, is McDonald's has released a statement. Corporate McDonald's, source Charlie Kirk. McDonald's has released their own statement. We have no record of Kamala Harris ever working at McDonald's. And you're like, Tom, you can bring it back to me. You're like, Tom, I mean, okay, you've made your point. Can't stand this thing on these brakes right here. But anyway, you made your point. What's the big deal? Because it's not a matter, again, of somebody missing a date. You said it happened on the 14th and it happened on the 17th. Okay. And it's 5 years ago and you missed a date. Everybody has done that. You say, you know, you thought it was Van Halen, but it was Led Zeppelin. Whatever. You messed it up, but you're still in the realm. These are pathological lies. These are people with a pathology, a problem, an actual mental pathology for lying. Because she's never worked at McDonald's. Please understand something. If you work at McDonald's, you are basically surrounded by between 20 and 40 people, depending on how many people are working at the time. There's not one person that will give an affirmative statement that she worked at McDonald's. No, nobody will actually confirm that she worked at McDonald's. Somebody, I mean, wouldn't, I mean, if I had ever worked with, I'm trying to think of somebody who's like my age roughly, that, you know, that there's no way that if I'd worked with Jayden, no, he's not my age, he's 20 years younger than me, but I'm trying to think of like a football player from my time frame. It's hard to remember right now, but anyway. I'll use Aaron Rodgers, okay, even though he's 15 years younger than me. But I'm just saying, say we were the same age. If I worked at a McDonald's with Aaron Rodgers, I would remember. If I worked at a McDonald's with Donald Trump, I would remember. Even sadly, because Kamala Harris is 5 years older than me. If I worked at a McDonald's with a Kamala Harris, I would remember. Wouldn't you, Aaron?
Oh, yeah.
You would remember if you worked. I mean, we could name Christian heroes. We could name... other musicians, whatever. If we worked at a McDonald's with a famous person, everybody remembers. I can tell you the names of NFL football players that I played against in college. I played football for the University of Central Florida. And I can tell you the football players both that I played with at UCF that played in the NFL and that played against that played in the NFL. And I only played one time against them, maybe two times against them. And I can remember who they are. I can even remember the games. And this is from many years ago. I played football stopping in the early 90s. 1990 was my last year. It wasn't even the early 90s. It was my 1990s, my last year playing football. But anyway, I'm just saying, everybody remember, somebody would step up. I mean, out of the 30 to 40 people that circulated through that McDonald's when she worked there, and back then it was much more popular to work at McDonald's, because we're roughly in the same age bracket, Kamala and I. So it was really popular to work at McDonald's. Everybody worked at McDonald's. I worked at Taco Bell. Everybody put time in a place like that. Everybody would remember. Not one person remembers. And McDonald's corporate has put out a statement saying, we have no record of her ever working at McDonald's. And she still sticks with it because it's a pathology. And we'll get to this later, but Candace Owens has released another video confirming her reporting on Grandma Beryl, Nana Beryl, whatever her name is, that Kamala Harris put a picture of herself in her book with her arm around, and it looks like an African-American woman. That's all a lie. Grandma Beryl died 4 years before Kamala was born, and she's standing there with her arm around her at the age of 20. It's and no retractions. She's not even trying to do the Biden retractions of my memory failed, or, you know, I got it wrong. You don't get things like, I worked at McDonald's and you never did wrong. You have an application process. You have a boss. You don't get that wrong. You get 15th. I did it on the 15th. Oh wait, no, I did it on the 17th wrong. You don't get, I worked at McDonald's wrong. That, again, that would be like the Tampa Bay Bucks are playing right now. Shouldn't tell people that because I might switch over and watch that. But anyway, Tampa Bay Bucks are playing right now. There's a big difference between I attended the game and I played for the Bucks. You can get it wrong on the date that you attended the game, but you can never get it wrong that you did or did not play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's Harris Biden. They make up lies to that level that they played for the Buccaneers. I attended on the 17th. Oh, no, I made a mistake on that. I attended on the 15th. Now, if you say that to a Democratic Party politician prosecutor, you'll be charged with perjury if you get the date wrong. But that's a whole nother story. So McDonald's has put out a statement. She never has worked there ever in her life. But don't worry, Newsweek is all over this story. Put up the next one for me, Ness. Newsweek is all over. Here's Newsweek. They put this on social media. This is real. It's not AI. Rumors have been circulating on social media that former President Trump's visit to popular fast food chain was staged. No kidding. Did you also post today that the sky is blue and the sun's hot? Of course it's staged. Everything is staged. Why didn't Newsweek report that Joe Biden's visit and Kamala Harris's visit to Wawa's was staged? They're all staged. We know it's staged. We're fine with it being staged. We all know that everything is staged because the Secret Service is involved. And guess what? It has to be staged. Imagine being a news outlet that actually feels the need to report this, and you think of yourself as a journalist instead of a Goebbels media source or a Pravda or a Mockingbird media source. Imagine actually looking at yourself in the mirror and thinking of yourself as a journalist, but you only report negative things on one side. You're not a journalist. You are a pundit. And there's no problem with being a pundit. I'm a pundit, but I don't call myself a journalist. I'm not a journalist. I'm biased. I've taken sides. I believe wholeheartedly that I see the Democratic Party for what they are, demonic. They both start with a D-E-M. I see them clearly, but I am a pundit. But Newsweek claims to be a media source, an unbiased reporting on both sides, media source, and they feel the need to report that Donald Trump's visit or working at McDonald's was staged. No kidding. He's never applied to work at McDonald's, so obviously it's staged. Jeez. Here's some more. This is all real, by the way. Go to the next one for me, Ness. This is real. Look at the bottom of this. Donald Trump facetiously on Troop Social because he went to the Steelers game last night on Sunday Night Football. And everybody turned around in Pittsburgh, which is no bastion of right-wing conservatism, although not horrendously left like other cities. One of my favorite preachers in the world is based there, Jonathan Shuttlesworth, Revival Today Ministries, is based out of Pittsburgh. But all the people turned around and started chanting USA when he was there. And he facetiously put this pic out on True Social. And Newsweek feels the need to report the following. At the bottom, Donald Trump has shared what is likely an AI-generated image. Likely? That's likely an AI-generated image, not definitively, absolutely? Because it's a joke? Why are you even reporting on this? On a Truth Social account, showing him as a player for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I guess that, you know, this was also yeah, it's all a joke, morons. This is why people like this have no problem banning speech. They have absolutely no sense of humor, because a sense of humor requires intelligence, and they don't have it. And so if Kamala were to put out a pic like this of herself, do you think that would be at the bottom of her pic? Do you think that Newsweek would report on? Absolutely not. Because they are Goebbels media. And then they want to ban other people who actually report the truth. So the liars want to be in charge of what is or is not disinformation or lying. All right, so off of that for a minute, taking a hard right-hand turn, just some miscellaneous stories, and then we're going to get to election fraud stuff. Shadow of Ezra video. This video caught me by surprise. Shocked to see it on Fox News. Many of you, probably most of you, have already seen it. But again, I want to make sure that people see these things. Shadow of Ezra video. Child sex trafficking is rapidly becoming one of the fastest growing enterprises, fueled by the open border policies of the Harris-Biden administration. Let's watch it and break it down. Play it for me.
Well, a horrifying report revealing sex trafficking of minors is quickly becoming the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the United States. And with open border policies fueling the crisis, government agencies cannot keep up. Brooke Taylor is live in Dallas with more. Good morning, Brooke.
Dana, good morning. A local nonprofit here in Dallas is working with law enforcement to take down these sex trafficking rings. We spoke to the president of this foundation, who tells me that the reality of the situation is that ordering sex trafficking victims is just as simple as ordering pizza. The president of the Shepherd's Watch Foundation says that you could order a sex trafficking victim as fast as 15 minutes. There's ads on social media and even gaming platforms that look exactly like this. You could select what age, height, and other really disturbing factors. She says the underage victims will usually have emojis covering their faces, and many are branded with tattoos.
So there you go. And again, you know, you always have to acknowledge the accomplishments of an administration. So one of the accomplishments of the Biden administration is that child sex trafficking is rapidly becoming one of the fastest growing enterprises, fueled by the open border policies of the Harris-Biden administration. Now, you can go online, baby, and order yourself a kid. And California actually tried to keep this legal. To some degree, I can't remember the exact stipulations of the video that I had that I don't think I ever played on the show, never got to it. But they were actually trying to mitigate the legal consequences of doing this in California. Why would you do this? I mean, you always have to ask yourself this question. You just leave this up the whole time, guys, while I'm yapping. Why? You always have to ask, what are the motivations behind people? If you are Gavin Newsom and you are State Congressman Wiener, that's his real name, in California, and you lower the penalties for those people that rape, that anally rape, it's very specific, sodomy, it's a sodomy statute, that anally rape somebody who is under the age 16 or under, you lower the penalties for that person. Why? What would your motivations be behind doing that? I mean, I always ask myself that perpetually in life. What are my motivations behind saying what I'm about to say, doing what I'm about to do? I don't have a large platform, so to speak. I mean, it's larger than most, but it's not a large platform, obviously, comparatively to big names. But, you know, on Sunday morning, there's, you know, 800-900 to 1,000 people here every Sunday morning, 600 watching live. There's 906 people that I can see watching live. We're also being broadcast on the Christian Television Network from Fort Myers, Florida, all the way up to Sarasota. So, you know, there's a platform here, and I ask, what are my motives for doing what I do, for saying what I say? And you know, most of the time, I have good motives. But what would your motives be if you are Gavin Newsom and Congressman Wiener from the state of California, who have issued one law after another, enabling kids to have their body parts lopped off, taking kids from their parents so they can have their body parts lopped off, and lowering the penalties for those that anally rape teenagers? Why would you do that, except if you are in favor of child sexual victimization? That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah. Yep.
What would your motives be? I mean, you got anything here? I mean, help me. Help me understand. What would your motives be for lowering the penalties for somebody who forcibly rapes a 14-year-old girl anally as an adult? I mean, explain that to me. What would your motives be? And they're perpetually trying to lower the criminal penalties for those that engage in child sex trafficking in the largest state in the union also. And this is not just talking about the state of California. So now, under the Biden administration, don't you have to ask, what are your motives if you are allowing the proliferation of child sex trafficking at the southern border? What would your motives be, except that you're pro-pedophile? Can you come up with anything else?
No.
I can't either.
No.
I mean, if you know that your policies, how do you sleep at night? But second of all, if you know that your policies are causing kids by the thousands, 325,000 we know have disappeared off the planet, where are those kids at? Right there. Right there. Right there. Right there. That's where they're at. 325,000 kids. How do you sleep at night if you are Kamala? If you are Kamala Harris, how do you sleep at night knowing that 325,000 kids have disappeared into freaking oblivion under your watch? And now you can order a kid under the Harris. This is the United States of America. Joe Biden likes to blither on and on about, we are the United States, and we this is above us, and this is beneath us, and we should be able to. Okay, this is the Harris-Biden version of the United States, where never before in my life of 56 years, Aaron's life of 30 years, never in our lives have you been able to go online and order a child, get a pic, kids got, you know, his name kind of blurred out or covered. But you can order a kid online under the Biden administration, and she's running for president. If under your administration it went from not being able to order kids online, and then under your administration it became possible to order kids online, how in the world are you running for re-election? Why are you not running for the hills? Why are you not disappearing into oblivion and hoping nobody ever recognizes you again? And asking people, making phone calls and asking people to deny knowing you. This is the Biden-Harris administration right here. This is them. Before Harris-Biden, before Border Czar Harris, 325,000 kids never went missing under Trump. Never even went missing under Obama in those numbers. Never even went missing like that. And believe me, I don't like Obama. I don't like Bush. I don't like Clinton. I don't like the Bush before Clinton. I like Reagan. Certainly didn't like Carter. Not a huge fan of Nixon. Nixon was way too... Nixon got rid of the gold standard and opened up the world to China's corrupt financial practices and trade practices. But anyway, I digress. But anyway, if under your administration it became possible to order a child, how in the world do you run to be reelected to that position? It is absolutely beyond me. But here we are. All right, let's go to the next one. Just hopping around right now. Libs of TikTok tweet. Let's do some transgenderism tonight. A journalist in Texas was arrested. Of course, what was it? A journalist in Texas was arrested. Oh, there must be a valid reason. By police. For filming an all-ages drag show that was being held at the city's public event center. Play for me, Nez.
I'm
Okay, but he's not the owner of this building.
No, no, the city of Mission.
Yes, the city of Mission owns this building where you're having this drag show with children right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, the police phone down.
No, whoa, whoa, don't touch my phone. Don't touch my phone. What are you doing? Oh, no.
This is a free country, correct?
No, it's not. No, it's not. I just got arrested for just being here.
Well.
Yep, no, it's not a free country. Well. You guys proved it. You guys absolutely proved it. No, I'm right. So I know I'm right.
You can bring it back. So there you go. Now, again, I don't know all the stipulations behind the arrest, and it's not because I was once a cop myself that I'm defending cops. I'm not necessarily defending the cops. What I'm saying is I don't know all of what was behind the arrest. If somehow a city official, because this was a city event center, it's Mission, Texas, so if it's Mission City's event center, then basically the mayor or a representative of the mayor either has to empower the cops to trespass people, or somebody representing the city that's been empowered by the mayor has to be able to trespass that person. And if that person refuses to leave after the trespass warning, they get arrested. I don't know if that's what happened or that did not happen. The cop telling him to put his phone down, unless that was post-arrest and post being told to put his hands behind his back because he's under arrest, is unlawful. And the thing is, you're like, even as a cop, now, you know, I am pro local law enforcement. I am not pro federal cops at all. I believe that the FBI should be absolutely stopped. The FBI should be the whole program should be defunded. And there should be no more FBI. It should be extinguished from existence. And so the ATF and everything else. We'll hand it all with sheriff's office, police officers, and joint jurisdictional task forces. But anyway, unless that trespassing, unless it was done correctly. Now, the other side of it is, can you rightfully trespass a citizen off of city property? It gets to be real sort of ambiguous when it comes to trespass laws. Believe me, I know, because I dealt with them a lot. It's like when you want to trespass a parent from a school. It's very difficult to trespass somebody from a location they have a lawful right to be at. So really, for all intents and purposes, you can't. So for all intents and purposes, you really can't trespass a city citizen or any citizen off of city property. And that has a right to be there because that event was open to the public. If it's on city property, it has to be open to the public. So that trespass is pretty much null and void, pretty much an unlawful arrest. So that person is probably going to get several $100,000 for that fake, for that phony arrest. But why is everybody so bothered? Because it's an all ages drag show. And again, with cops, and I lost lots of respect for cops. I'm glad I was retired. I retired in 2017 as a Sarasota County deputy myself. 1992, 2017, retired 25 years and a day into it. But anyway, I was glad I was retired before COVID, because I either would have resigned during COVID, depending on what the sheriff did or didn't do. And I don't remember what Sarasota County did or didn't do, but I was never going to force anybody to wear a mask. I was never going to force anybody to stand 6 feet apart. I was never going to force anybody into lockdown. It's like I always said, the moment they tell me to start arresting people for spanking their kids, and they make me start arresting people for being in lawful possession of firearms, I'm out. I'm resigning. But anyway, I lost a lot of respect for cops who did enforce, because your first day in law enforcement, which mine was August 13th of 1992, you raise your hand and you swear to affirm what? The Constitution of the United States of America. Standing 6 feet apart is not, people have the right to stand 1 foot, a foot apart. You cannot mandate via it to anybody how far they can stand from somebody, or what they can say, or the masks that they wear, the vaccines that they take, or their entrances into buildings based on masking, vaccine, and all those other things. So seeing cops in America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and numerous other locations, Great Britain, making arrests for unconstitutional arrests, lost respect. And I know they have charters of rights, and I'm just using Constitution in a blanket way. But anyway, seeing cops denigrate themselves like that, and doing anything to keep their middle class job. And again, I'm not denigrating a cop for being middle class. I am middle class, and I was a cop. I don't want to stay middle class. I want to get richer. But anyway, I'm just saying, I am middle class right now, and I was a cop for 25 years. And I didn't want to lose my job either. But, you know, there's some things that are more important than your job. And when you're sitting there at this event at the city's event center, and there's little kids in a crowd while 40-year-old men are twerking in front of them with taped-up testicles, and you're arresting somebody for filming it, all to keep your job, you have now lost your soul. You're gaining the world, but losing your soul, as spoken of in Matthew and Mark chapter 8. You're gaining the whole world, but you're losing your soul. So just another interesting story. Now, this kind of, you know, the whole thing, and why do I talk about transgenderism? Because it is a tactic of the globalist movement. What is the globalist movement? What is the globalist narrative? What is the globalist agenda? To leverage you into a one-world commerce system with a singular access point to that commerce system. So you cannot buy, sell, trade, or travel without getting through that access point. And that access point is controlled by globalist leftists. That is the narrative. That is the agenda. One of the tactics to usher in that agenda is transgenderism, is DEI, is gun grabbing, is COVID, vaccine mandates, CBDC, lawlessness, all spoken of in the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and 14. But there are many tactics to usher in that agenda that are used to usher into that agenda, but it is all one agenda. How's transgenderism used? It's almost the same as the ridiculousness of masking. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's basically, it's a brainwashing technique. Force you to wear a nonsensical mask. Wear a mask that makes no sense in wearing it, but we're going to make you wear it anyway. There's no sense in wearing it. It doesn't do anything, but we're going to make you wear it, and then we're going to make you wear two, and then we're going to make you wear an N95. It all makes no sense, just like transgenderism makes no sense. Call a woman a man or a man a woman. They get you to accept things that are nonsensical, like right now with the elections, which we'll get into in just a minute. They want you to accept that which is now nonsensical. One election official after another, whether it's Secretary of State in Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, Jocelyn Benson out of Michigan, saying things like, you know what? We're not going to know the results of the election on the night of the election. And now people are accepting that as normal. Not you and me, not the 942 people that I can see watching right now, and those potentially watching on the Christian Television Network. Not us. But now, because you and I are red-pilled, we are, listen, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We're shining cities on a hill. We're above it. That sounds egotistical. I don't care. We're above it. We see it. We know it. We're looking down upon it, how ridiculous it all is, how ridiculous it is to wear a mask to prevent you from getting a respiratory virus, how ridiculous it is to take an mRNA gene-altering vaccination, how ridiculous it is that we're not going to know the results of the election on the night of the election. But everybody's now, it's just, again, it's like masking. They're, you know, of course, they're reissuing mask mandates in Southern California as we speak right now because those people are brainwashed into thinking this is normal. And yeah, I know they're already leftists before that and they're more vulnerable to being brainwashed, but I'm just saying now that it's acceptable, that which was nonsensical, that which was outright stupid, now is acceptable to them. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing with elections. And that's what they use with transgenderism too. Get you to accept that which is nonsensical so then they can make more nonsensical demands upon you and put more nonsensical mandates and dictates upon you. And get you to, if they can get you to accept the nonsensical, then they can get you to accept the next level of nonsensical or even the literally insane. So here's just, I love, and most of you have already seen this video before. It's actually a briefer version of it. But here's Matt Walsh, Concerned Citizen video, basically explaining the transgender narrative in less than a minute. Play for me, Ness.
What you want to do is appropriate women. You want to appropriate womanhood.
Okay.
And turn it into basically a costume that can be worn. So you can feel however you want. I mean, I could sit here and say that I feel like a tomato plant, but that doesn't mean that I actually am those things. So your self-perception, you can have whatever self-perception you want. But you can't expect me to take part in that self-perception or to take part in this kind of charade, this theatrical production. You don't get your own pronouns, just like you don't get your own prepositions or your own adjectives. You know, it's like if I were to tell you, my adjectives are handsome and brilliant. And no matter whatever you're talking about me, you have to describe me as handsome and brilliant because that's how I identify. It makes no sense. You don't get your own pronouns. These are that's grammar. That's language.
And again, what they want to be able want you to do is to participate in their delusion. Because if you participate in that delusion, then you'll participate in the grand delusions. The grand delusions, basically also manipulating you through fear to participate and to cooperate. Listen, this is accepted by everybody now. So if you don't accept it, you're going to be left out of the one world commerce system, the single access point. Everybody's accepted that men can identify as women and women can be identified as men. You're a caveman if you don't. You're a conspiracy theorist if you don't. And if you don't, we're not going to allow you access into the commerce system. We're not going to issue you your common pass, your global pass, your biometric ID if you will not acknowledge that man with taped up testicles is actually a woman. It's a way of manipulating behavior. And Biden and Harris do it all the time. The economy is great. The economy is great. We all know that it's not great. Even the leftards voting for their own demise know that it is not great. But yet they're already so brainwashed to accept that which is nonsensical, they'll vote for what's nonsensical. They'll vote in their own demise because it's actually more important to them to be accepted. It's more important to them that they get a check mark of approval by the globalist left, by their own party, by the people around them, whoever it may be, that they want approval from. And the only way to get that approval is to accept things that are not real. FEMA's doing a great job. That's not real. The economy's great. That's not real. Crime is down. That's not real and just got affirmed by the FBI stats that just keep coming out, and they keep getting worse. They say crime was down 2%. It was up 6%. So they're off. They're off by 8%. And then it even gets worse because, like, property crimes, I can't remember which one off of the Will actually sent in a stat. One of our producers, Will, sent in a stat. I can't remember what they are. But he's naming other crimes, one of which is up 10%. The other one is up, I think, 8%. So it's all just lies. They want you to accept these lies. That's what transgenderism is about. It's basically you'll be given a list of check boxes. And however many boxes that are checked on your list, basically, let's just say we all have 30 boxes that have to be that get checked. The more of those 30 boxes that get checked, the more access you'll have to the global commerce system. The less boxes that are checked, the less access you will have to the global commerce system. And if you will nonsensically say that men can be women and women can be men, and that there are 37 different genders, you get several boxes checked. And if you won't, then maybe you won't be able to buy groceries as often. You will only be allowed, you'll be allowed a lesser carbon footprint. All of which shouldn't be in place anyway, but I'm just giving you as examples. We better fight those things every step of the way. All right, so let's move on to elections. Speaking of fighting those things, go to the next one for me. That's Liz Harrington tweet. If you're wondering how Kamala can raise $1 billion in 3 months. Anybody ever wonder that? I kind of wondered that since nobody's voting for her. Well, we have an actual AG in the state of Texas named Ken Paxton. Support him, follow him. Straw donations are systematically being made using false identities. Where's the FEC? Where's the Federal Election Commission? Where's the FBI? Every single one of these things. When you're making straw donations systematically using false identities, every single one of those donations is a felonious crime. It is a campaign finance felony crime. And nobody's doing anything about it. Through untraceable payment methods, anything untraceable is a crime. Who's doing it? Act Blue. Yeah, it's always amazing to me how Democrats will ever call the Republican side of things corrupt in comparison to themselves. Where's our version of Act Blue? Can anybody name it? There isn't one. What's happening here? I'll read the big headline on the bottom first. Investigation into ActBlue by Attorney General Ken Paxton uncovers large number of suspicious donations made through obscured identities and untraceable means. OAG demands FEC action. Why is the FEC not already intervened? And we've already documented this through the great work of James O'Keefe, is that there are literally, I'm just making up the numbers here, but I'm not, these are not exaggerations, but they're made up numbers. I just don't remember what the specific numbers were. They will find an elderly woman in Nashville, Tennessee, who's made 3,700 contributions to Kamala Harris, 3,700. In, let's say, 2 years. So she's made 3,700 political contributions in 2 years of $37,000, let's say. 37 contributions, I mean, I can't remember what my original number. I'll start over again. So she made 3,000 contributions of $30,000. 3,000 times she's contributed to Kamala Harris for a total of $30,000. Of course, that's absolutely, once again, totally nonsensical. And when she's confronted by James O'Keefe, she's like, yeah, I'm a Kamala Harris supporter. But I, to my knowledge, I've given a total of $200. But according to ActBlue, she's given 3,000 times. These are not exaggerations at all. Pull up OMG, O'Keefe Media Group. Pull it up. They're not the only ones. This is happening to thousands of people with hundreds of thousands or even millions of donations that they never made. These people have never actually made these donations. They're going up to people and saying, did you contribute to the Democratic Party? Did you contribute to ActBlue 4,600 times for a total of $170,000? No, I contributed to the Harris for Senate campaign 10 years ago for $400, and that's it. But their name is then used to contribute thousands of times to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars. And this is a valid point that Aaron brought up, and the point behind it is they make it look like individual donors are giving small sums. But it's actually large donors giving large sums under one person's name, under multiple donations. Did that all make sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
There you go. That's what they're doing. I mean, how hard is it for Christopher Wray, who's so intent on arresting people for knowingly trespassing when they didn't knowingly trespass, when they arrested people for knowingly trespass when they did it unknowingly, that on J6 from 3.5 years ago, he really wants to do that. But all you have to do is open up ActBlue's books and see that Jim Williams donated 5,700 times to the Harris for President campaign to the tune of $174,000. And how in the world does any human being give 5,000 times? I mean, this is the status of our country. And this has to be changed when we're in power. ActBlue should be stripped to the studs and be extinguished from existence. This is absolutely beyond corruption. How does any human being give 5,000 times? And you probably think that I'm exaggerating. I'm not. That's what they're doing. You're like, well, somebody would look into that then. No, who would? If the FBI is controlled by ActBlue, if the FBI is controlled by the Democratic Party, why would they look into their benefactors? So, but you know what Ken Paxton is? And once Ken Paxton starts doing it, that means people like Andrew Bailey out of Missouri will do it. And I'll be waiting for Ashley Moody. Kind of slow. She's slow here in the state of Florida. I kind of wonder if she doesn't need to be replaced. We need a Ken Paxton in Florida. No, I don't know what about Ashley Moody. I mean, we need absolute fire breathers, not people who are looking to be politically expedient. Those days are gone. Fence sitting is over. All right, go to the next one for me, Naz. All right, Alex, tweet Kamala disclosed. Oh, remember what I just told you about ActBlue. Kamala Harris disclosed to the Federal Election Commission spending a shocking $270 million. All those donations. 3,700 donation from Kim Smith, Nashville, Tennessee, gave 3,700 times to the tune of $100,000. I wonder how Kamala gets all this $270 million in September. news Kamala Harris disclosed to the Federal Election Commission spending a shocking $270 million in September. In September alone. Largely on ads. President Trump, $78 million. And who's the bourgeois leftist? Well, obviously they're leftists, but who's the party of the bourgeoisie? Who's the party of the bougie people, of the bourgeoisie? Who is it? That'd be the Democratic Party. $270 million on ads in 1 month. Trump, $78 million. Where is she getting all that money? From all these fake donations spread out to make it look like they're coming from individuals. And they're not. See, the thing is, what's so sad about it is they're not even smart. If they were to, instead of having one woman give 5,000 times, why don't you go find 5,000 actual contributors? I mean, it's all fraud anyway and all felonious crime. But if you want to hide it, instead of having one person give 5,000 individual campaign donations, why don't you go find 5,000 individuals to give lesser, I mean, give the same amounts? And actually, you know, and remember, whenever they go up to these people, did you give? No, I have no knowledge of this. That's, did we all realize what kind of crimes these are? You're talking about levels of fraud that are basically uncomprehendable, if that's a word. They're not even, you can't even comprehend the amount of fraud that's going on to raise that $270 million that she spent on ads. Go to the next one for me, Naz. Erection. Did I almost do it? There it is. There it is. Insurrection. Insurrection Barbie video. Every single person needs to watch this so they can understand what they are up to in Michigan, what we are up against in Michigan. Here's Jocelyn Benson, Secretary of State for the state of Michigan. Look at what she's up to. Play for me.
Margin. So let's go see what she has to say.
Hi.
Hi, Senator.
Hi.
Hi, so nice to meet you, Sarah Gonzalez.
Sarah, come on in.
So, Senator, tell me what has changed here.
There's only 5 states that are considered swing states, and Michigan is one of them. And many things have changed, which has lessened the security of our elections in the last few years.
Since Trump won the state in 2016, Michigan has completely overhauled its election system. In 2018, Michigan voters replaced Johnson, who was term limited, with Jocelyn Benson, a Harvard-educated law professor and former SPLC lawyer. She once received funding from George Soros' controversial Secretary of State.
Hey, we're breaking into this video real quick. We're going to be going off of Christian Television Network in about 5 seconds from now. Switch over to Rumble. CTN is not banning me. All right, back to the video.
Project, which targeted low-profile Secretary of State races. Under her leadership and empowered by the pandemic, things changed in Michigan.
She sent unsolicited absentee voter ballot applications to over 800,000 people that weren't qualified to vote, and then she told the clerks, don't verify the signatures. She tried to allow ballots to be counted if they were received after Election Day, so I had to go in and sue her, and we won.
In an email, Benson's office tacitly acknowledged that Michigan's voter rolls are stacked with ineligible voters, saying they've, quote, identified more than 500,000 additional records slated for cancellations in 2025 and 2027, notably after this year's presidential election, adding, many of which were left languishing on the voter rolls under the previous secretary's administration. They added that the reason more than 350,000 registrations are slated for cancellation in 2025 is because of a statewide mailing the Secretary of State sent out in 2020, something the previous secretary failed to do in her entire 8 years in office. But even with inflated rolls, what's really transformed the state's elections were 2 statewide ballot referendums that amended the state's constitution, like Proposition 3 in 2018.
What it does is allows for same-day registration. The problem is we don't have real-time computers, so we don't know if they're really a qualified voter. So you can register without showing photo ID. Photo ID is like the foundation of everything. You have to have photo ID to get a fishing license in the state or even to take a book out of the library.
In 2022, a consortium of left-wing groups pushed another referendum, Proposal 2, which essentially gutted the state's election integrity measures.
And that prohibits the people that run our elections to even ask for photo ID. So now we can't even ask for it.
The referendum received nearly $24 million in funding from a laundry list of left-wing groups, which paid for ads like this one.
Prop 2 puts our voting rights directly in the state constitution,
including voter ID requirements.
So only eligible citizens can vote.
Vote yes on Prop 2.
Voters had to take their word for it. The actual text of Proposal 2 was nearly 2,500 words long, too long to actually print on the ballot.
You can only put less than 100 words on the actual ballot.
After the ballot initiatives, Michigan residents now have a constitutional right to vote by mail. To make matters worse, in April, Michigan's Senate passed a bill that would bar local officials from investigating fraud, illegal activity, or even ballot tampering during a recount. The last remaining safeguard is a Michigan law that requires local clerks to verify signatures on absentee ballots. In 2021, Secretary Benson attempted to change the process by making clerks presume the signatures are accurate. Her proposal was defeated by the courts.
Unfortunately, right now, my Democratic colleagues are making it even easier to cheat.
The list of issues is long. Bloated voter rolls, widespread mail-in voting, ballot drop boxes in a heavily unionized state with a highly organized left. It's a recipe for disaster in what will surely be one of the closest swing states in this year's presidential election.
If I lived in Michigan and I moved to the state of Texas, would I still be registered to vote in the state of Michigan?
You would be.
And I vote in Texas. Do you in Michigan have a way to see whether or not I've already voted in Texas?
Another huge flaw in our system. There's no way for the Secretary of State or anyone else to know that you voted in two states. There's nothing systemically to tell us whether somebody has voted in more than one state. Actually, because you don't have to show ID anymore, we don't even know if you voted twice in Michigan or three times or four. The system is full of holes. So we had a bill, the Republicans, that would allow free ID to everybody. We wanted to expand it and then require photo ID at the polls. And our governor, Gretchen Whitmer, she vetoed that bill.
That just seems so sinister to me.
We used to be a Republican state. We have Democrats that have the House, the Senate, the AG's office, Secretary of State.
If you ever are wondering why it is that we lose states, is it really 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
That's why we're off satan.
Oh, that's right. That gum.
Going quick. Going
Holy
by quick.
Moly. Whew, I never even gave my time prediction tonight. But anyway, I don't know what it'll be now. But anyway, it's supposed to be off at 10. But anyway, so we'll just go on. So if you're ever wondering why it is that we lose states, this is why. Are you telling me there's more Democrats in Michigan than Republicans? There's not. It's not who's voting. It's not how many people vote. It's who's counting the votes. We're not losing. I'm telling you. If we lose any state at all, it might be Oregon, Washington, California, Illinois, New York, maybe. And even with that, I don't even know if we're losing California. I don't know if we're really losing Oregon or Washington either. We're certainly not losing Colorado. We're not losing Nevada. We're not losing North Carolina or Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, or Minnesota. We're not losing these. It is voter fraud. Again, using the example of pedophilia, if you are Gavin Newsom and Congressman Wiener out of the state of California, why are you lowering sodomy penalties for those who rape somebody under the age of 16? Why are you lowering the criminal penalties for anal rapists? Why? Because what would be your motivation behind that? Especially when you're Congressman Wiener and you are a very active member of the hyper-gay community. I mean, he said these S&M rallies and all these different things and advocates for these things all the time. You're like, Tom, what's the point? The point is this. What would be your motives behind it? It'd have to be that you're pro having sex with kids. Well, what other motive would you have for lowering the criminal penalties for those who anally rape children? Why? What could be your altruistic motives for that? There can't be, except you want people to be able to anally rape children. Same thing here. What could be your motives for Jocelyn Benson? sending 800,000 unsolicited ballots to people in Michigan and not requiring any verification of signatures. You send out 800,000 ballots to people, then who fills out that ballot? You don't have to have a photo ID to get a ballot. You don't have to have a photo ID to vote. So who knows who's filling out 800,000 ballots? Who are they sending them to? Are they sending them to a house that's full of Democratic Party workers? And there's 25,000 ballots go to this one house? And just like Act Blue with various different names on, then filled out by the same 10 people inside this house? They have no idea. Why would you do that if you want free and fair elections? You have Mark Elias of Perkins Coie traveling around the country suing Republican organizations and suing cities and towns and states to make it so you don't have to have signature verification or photo ID to vote. What would be his motives behind that? What's Mark Elias's motives behind that? Election fraud. He wants people to vote who aren't allowed to vote, and he wants people to be able to fill out ballots without any control. That's really what it is manifesting votes, making up votes. Mark Elias and the left and Jocelyn Benson want to manufacture votes, manufacture names. You can just make it up over and over again. How would you know? They're not tracing it. There's no photo ID requirement. There's no signature verification. There's no address verification. There's no forensic audits. And listen, if we don't fix this, I hope we win this year, but we're not going to ever win again. We're going to continue to lose more and more and more elections, which means we lose more and more and more power. And the country goes more and more and more insane and more and more and more in debt. And more globalist and more leftardish. And then she puts forward Prop 2, where you can't ask for ID in the state of Michigan anymore. We're going to win an election there. And that was called Prop 2. And that was funded by various Soros organizations to the tune of $25 million. And you're not allowed to put more than 100 words on a ballot. So when there's some sort of leftard initiative, like here in Florida, when they're trying to legalize abortion up to the moment of birth for all intents and purposes with Amendment 4, you'd only be able to put 100 words on there so you could craft that very succinctly in your favor. That was also put forward by Jocelyn Benson, who's a former Southern Poverty Law Center lawyer. That's who's in charge of elections. She's left of Stalin. When you work for the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, when you work for them, you are Lenin. You're Stalin. You are Xi Jinping. That's who's in charge of elections. And she comes out and talks about democracy. The one who says, if you even investigate voter fraud, if you are an election worker and you're basically, I'll just call it my own term, you're on an election security commission in the state of Michigan. If you even look into an allegation of election fraud, she said, quote, I'm coming after you. She put forward Prop 3, which is same day registration with no voter ID. So you could have 5,000 people walk in. I want a ballot. And you give it to them. You don't know where they live. There's no photo ID required. You have no idea. That's the same. When she mails out 800,000 ballots, who gets them? They could be going to any state in the union. There's no address verification. There's no photo ID required. Photo ID has your name, address, date of birth. A lot of them, social security number. That's not even required here. So when you send out 800,000 ballots, who's filling them out? Who knows? That's the way they want it. And Mark Elias goes around the country fighting for it. If you don't want photo ID, if you mail out 800,000 ballots to various locations, what are your motivations outside of election fraud? If you're a leftard and you're watching this, send it to me in the Rumble chat right now. Send it to me in the chat right now. What are your altruistic motivations? Well, we want everybody to be able to vote. Everybody's not allowed to vote. Only United States citizens that are not felons can vote. That's it. That's it. Those are our laws. That is the Constitution. That is America. You know, that is democracy, so to speak, constitutional republic. That's what it is. So now there's no way to check all. So this is all under Jocelyn Benson. If you voted, if people voted in two states, or even if they voted twice inside, that's why you mail out 800,000 ballots. Mail out 800,000 ballots, and there's no way to check whether John Smith voted one time or 74 times. No way to tell. And now they've outlawed all investigations into fraud. Imagine outlawing criminal investigations. That's it. Tell me the altruistic motives behind that. Outside of you want that which to that which is supposed to be investigated to happen. If you're outlawing the investigation into fraud, then you want fraud to happen. And now she lost this one in court, but she wanted it to be where you had to presume the signature was correct. Why would you? What? In order to get into a rally that Jocelyn Benson is speaking at, you have to show a photo ID, but not the vote. And if you do, if there is a signature on a ballot or a ballot envelope inside the state of Michigan, she wanted to be where the election worker had to presume under the penalty of law that that signature was accurate. But she did lose that one in court. Let's go to the next one. Josh Dunlap video, election interference. Michigan will not release results until the day after the election. Play for me.
How quickly do you expect to get results?
Well, you know, in 2020, we had the results of our highest turnout election in Michigan history within 24 hours of the polls closing. The unofficial results were completed by 8 p.m. on Wednesday. So we're tracking that again this year. We do have more options to process ballots sooner than Election Day, which is where we were restricted in 2020. So I'm optimistic we could see results even sooner, but I would estimate end of the day on Wednesday as the best guess on how we'll perform. But that said, we will always prioritize accuracy and security over efficiency. Understanding how much people will want those results, we're still going to make sure the process is secure and accurate before we put anything out to the public. But that said, we understand people's energy and excitement, and we'll be working hard to ensure those results are ready as soon as possible.
Hey, Aaron, just mute that video and run it side by side. You know, the thing about it is when you look at, you actually look at these people, look how crazy she looks. I mean, seriously, we all need to be maybe considering, you know, the possibilities of demonic oppression and possession. Look how crazy she looks. And she sits there and she talks with this fake sincerity and then talks about accuracy over efficiency. Well, first of all, there is no such thing as accuracy without efficiency. So that makes no sense whatsoever. How are you going to be accurate when you're Jocelyn Benson and you're mailing out 800,000 ballots to various locations unsolicited, where you do not require signature verification? You can't even ask if someone has photo ID. There has to be less than 100 words on a ballot. Same day registration with no photo ID. There's 350,000 people that she has acknowledged need to be taken off her voter rolls. But you know what, Aaron? That's not slated to be done until after the 2024 election.
Oh,
that's not going to be done until after 2025. You must presume that the signature is accurate. How is that? You have to presume that the signature is accurate. Then how in the world are you going to have an accurate election when you are making presumptions? No investigations into fraud. How is your election going to be accurate, Miss Crazy Eyes? There's no way to check if someone voted 500 times in the state of Michigan. You're like, if the person voted with the same name, so how would you notice? If it's never checked and you have to presume everything is on the up and up, or let's just think about it now. If you saw, I'm just going to let Crazy Eyes, that's her. I mean, that's her actual countenance right there. That's her. Look at that. Look at her. That's her actual countenance. And she got a Presidential Medal of Freedom, too, for her conduction. She conducted an absolute fraudulent election in 2020. Bounce back FBI investigations from Dana Nassel, the AG in Michigan, back to the FBI, and the FBI back to Dana Nassel. It was absolutely the most corrupt AG in the United States of America is Dana Nassel. But anyway, she gets a Presidential Medal of Freedom for mass voter fraud, just like Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss. Get a Presidential Medal of Freedom for what? For conducting a free, fair, non-fraudulent election when they were the fraudsters themselves. They were the ones actually committing the fraud. So unless we fix these things, I'm just saying, if we don't fix them, we're going to continue to lose ground. We will lose one congressional seat after another, one judgeship after another, one dog catchership after another, whatever it is. These things have to be fixed because they are colossally, I mean, absolutely colossally broken. I'm not going to say beyond repair, but it's getting to that place. It's getting to that place. And a lot of times in order to repair, you have to have the politicians in place. Well, in order for the politicians to be in place to fix it, you have to have free and fair elections to elect the politicians that can fix it. Well, they see how they're making the elections fraudulent, so the politicians that can fix it can never be elected. All right, let's go to the next one. Achieve Nerd video, Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. Play for me, Ness.
As I understand it, nearly all votes cast in this upcoming election will be recorded on paper. Last night...
Absolutely. 100% will be. And okay. It's actually security paper with the state seal on it.
Okay. Important point to establish, because yesterday President Trump said something that implies that because it can take time to tabulate votes, there might be something nefarious here. Take a listen.
We spend all this money on machines, and then they announce, we expect to have the results like 7 days after the election. If you had paper ballots, you get them at 10 o'clock. France went to paper because what we did didn't work.
He's pointing to a lack of paper ballots as a problem here. Is he accurately describing what's happening, and how long will it take to tabulate votes?
In Georgia, 100% of all the votes cast will be on a paper ballot. But actually, nationwide, it's going to be over 96 to 97% of all voting in America will be on paper ballots. But we also just put into law this year with SB 189 that all early votes and all early accepted ballots, they all will have to have their results reported by 8 p.m. That's 70, maybe even 75% of all the vote totals will be reported no later than 8 p.m. on election night.
Won't take 7 days to tabulate votes, as he said?
Absolutely not. What we will be waiting for is the overseas ballots that come in no later than Friday, and so those will then be the final numbers. And we'll just see if that makes the difference in the total vote totals. I understand we're very competitive, and that's why we've done everything since day one to make sure we have fast, accurate, and secure elections for all my...
That guy right there is one of the most evil people in America, and he comes across so benign, he comes across so sincere... He comes across so logical, but that's the man behind the Fannie Willis case. And he's an elected Republican who just got reelected last fall in a landslide by Republicans in the state of Georgia. That man right there met with Mark Elias of Perkins Coie in March of 2020. Why would a Republican Secretary of State of the state of Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, why would he meet with Mark Elias, a far left tard attorney out of Perkins Coie? Remember Perkins Coie, who actually has an FBI office inside of their office in DC? Perkins Coie, who was hired by Hillary Clinton and the DNC, which hired Fusion GPS, which hired Igor Danchenko, which hired Christopher Steele, which put together the Steele dossier, as John Brennan calls it, instead of its regular word, instead of the regular pronunciation of dossier, because he wants to sound intelligent when he's an ignoramus. This guy met with Mark Elias in March of, this is not conspiracy theory, this is absolute truth. Why did they meet? To unilaterally make it impossible to adjudicate ballots on the night of the election. Why would you want to make it harder to adjudicate ballots? Adjudicate just simply means, do you accept that ballot or do you not accept that ballot? Is that ballot real? Is it fake? Is it fraudulent? Basically, accept or reject. That is it. He purposely made it. Think about it. This would be like FDR meeting with Hitler to plan D-Day. So why is Brad Raffensperger meeting with Mark Elias in March of 2020 and the two of them scheming together to make it impossible to delineate ballots on election night. Why would he do that? Because they knew there was going to be mass mail-in voting because of the fraudulent COVID response, and you needed to be able to adjudicate ballots in a hurry that night. But he made it harder than the normal election. If you're going to have mass mail-in balloting, which you never should have, but if you're going to have it, you need to have a lot of adjudicators, you need to have a lot of accountability, and you need to make the adjudication process very simple. He did the exact opposite. He made the adjudication process impossible. He made it harder than a standard election when you should be making it simpler because it's a mass mail-in election. Why would he do that outside of wanting votes to count that shouldn't count? And it was found out that under Brad Raffensperger in 2020, 66,000 ballots were found that were invalid. But Brad Raffensperger insisted that the election be certified. And he is behind the whole Fannie Willis case because it was Trump. This is who Trump called for the 11,000 ballots, for the 11,000 votes. Find me 11,000 votes is what Trump said. Very easy to find 11,000 votes when there's 66,000 fraudulent votes all voting for Joe Biden. In a state that Trump lost by 11,000 votes, you take away 66,000, right? He wins by 55,000. That's all that Trump was asking him to do. And Brad Raffensperger and Brian Kemp, the governor of the state of Georgia, could end Fannie Willis's case right now, but they don't do it. Why don't they do it? Because they want mass voter fraud. Because he's a leftist. He's actually a leftist. I guarantee you right now, this man's never voted for a Republican. He certainly is not voting for Donald Trump. He didn't vote for him in 16. He didn't vote for him in 20. He's not voting for him in 2024. I guarantee you, even though Lindsey Graham shows up at Trump rallies, he's never once voted for a presidential candidate who's Republican. I guarantee it. They're fraudulent leftists masquerading because we don't do it. We don't think it can happen to us. We don't have anybody who's a Republican masquerading as a leftist, as a Democrat. But they have plenty of them, and here's one of them. And I'm not talking about, well, he's kind of a centrist. No, he's not a centrist. He's an absolute leftist. And he comes on with his well-rehearsed fake sincerity, his fake numbers. He says 100% of the ballots in the state of Georgia will be paper. How is that possible when an appellate court just overruled a lower court's ruling making it mandatory for all ballots to have a paper backup in the state of Georgia? An appellate court just overruled a lower court. The lower court ruled that every ballot in the state of Florida had to have a paper backup or be paper. And that was overruled by an appellate court. And now he is saying that every ballot will be paper. How is that possible? Why did leftists sue to make it so that every ballot didn't have to be paper or have a paper backup, and they won? Why would they be suing for those reasons? So that there could be fraud inside of machines. And then he fraudulently asserts that there's a paper ballot for every vote in the state of Georgia. How can that be when the courts have just ruled the opposite? And then notice how he makes room for fraud. He says, you always have to watch the careful verb. You have to really dissect the verbiage of these snakes. You have these snakes in the grass. These corrupt people have slipped in among you, Jude 3 and 4. He says 75% will be counted by 8 p.m. Oh, but that's the same thing he pulled. You can pull, I can show you videos. Well, we're almost there. We only got 2% to go. Remember that? Days after the election in 2020. Only got 2% to go. Only got 1% to go. Only got 0.5% to go. Day after day after day. Why? Because just like Jocelyn Benson is doing in the state of Michigan, mass mailing out ballots, they can just generate ballots. They're what I call manifest ballots during the delay. 66,000 of them were found. We put on the podcast numerous times, broken down into various Different categories of 66,000 fraudulent votes were found in the state of Georgia, in a state that Trump lost by 11,000 votes. And you have Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss shoving the same ballots in the same machines over and over again. And this guy certifies the election. And then comes out like he's so circumspect. He comes out, you know, he has all the verbiage in place, comes out with his fake sincerity. Just an absolute fraud, this man. And he gets voted in time and time again. All right, 10:25, that's it. I got so much on this, I can't do anymore. But anyway, oh, Rumble Rants tonight. Patriot Wolverine, make sure you stick around for the postgame. Show's not over. It's postgame coming up. Patriot Wolverine, Rumble Rants, Patriot Wolverine, $50. Thank you so much. Nitsua, $99, $20. New Mug, $20. Swifty Shooter, $10. Jules 54, $10. Order in the Court, $10. Tammy L. Margaret, the ruler, really, of the Rumble Rant here every night. And then you have the matriarch of the chat, Fedora the Explorer, $10. John Phillips, 1973, $10. Thank you guys so much for supporting the program. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Stick around for the postgame. Man, I went late tonight, 10:26. That's late. But anyway, stick around for the postgame. It's great. It really is. It's a great, great postgame. Quick and easy. I'm done screaming at you. I'll be back screaming at you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Don't miss it. I love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for all the people that were there at Foundation Church this Sunday. I think we're at 623 was our high. Yeah. Something like that, Aaron.
Yep.
So over 600 people watching live at Foundation Church on Sunday. Appreciate you guys so much. Love you. It'd be tough doing it without you. I think I'd probably have to do it, you know, even if there was nobody watching, because I'd have to get it out every day. But it makes it a whole lot easier with 1,005 people watching right now that I can see that the social media companies will allow me to see. Oh, 645 people were there on Sunday. There you go. Appreciate you guys. Stick around for the postgame. I'll be in the chat during the postgame. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
What if it's a new thing if I tell you that you are supposed to prosper, that you are supposed to be wealthy? That's Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Word just told you that new thing. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Is that a new thing for you? That you need to receive it. Well, I believe that poverty is an attribute. No, Jesus became poor. And then they quote Jesus saying, he doesn't have a place to lay his head. He became poor for you. Not for you to emulate the poorness. That would be like you emulating sin. He became sin, so now you sin. He became poor, so now you're poor.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.